This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we are going to talk, we're going to throw it way back. Like yeah. What, 20 years or something?
1998.
Yeah, so that's more than 20 years. That's 22 years.
It's 1998.
Probably yeah. Roundabouts this time of year.
Yeah.
It was the year 1998. It was the fall musical at Rockbridge High School Performing Arts Center. And ZD Donahue
right.
was putting on a show.
Well, no. I mean, I was the costume.
Yes. So there was, you know, you didn't really do as many costumes for me as you did for the other two girls in terms of not for me, but like for my.
When you were in.
When like, I was like in high
when
school.
When you were in high school, because there was another director.
There was a different director, yes.
Right.
Hopefully, I don't
hands
know.
Hands had changed. The hands had changed.
I don't know. Locally, we're going to get into some school politics here. I'm already there. Those of you who are personal friends with me on Facebook have seen my scathing letters to the school board, so maybe I'll post them on Instagram, too.
I don't think
too.
They were scathing.
I hoped they were.
I didn't think they were scathing.
Mm. Next time.
I think
time.
You made your point.
Next
I think
time.
When I say, I don't know. Scathing to me means that you've, like, ripped something apart
yes.
and you haven't rationalized it like, or really explained your point of view. You have just bitched about
appropriately serious.
Right.
Okay, you're right. Okay.
Okay.
So,
but I might be wrong. We might need to look that
yeah,
word up.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
Okay.
Okay. So, when Hillary and Lindsay were in high school, they overlapped. There was like a, what, 5-year period there, you know, where they overlapped in high school, or was it longer?
What do you mean they overlapped? No.
With
Hillary
was a
went
senior.
To school for 3 years, or high school for 3 years, because it was 3-year high school at that point. And then when she graduated, Lindsay went
so
for 3 years.
So they were never
years.
There at the same time.
And then there was a gap of 3 years, and then you went.
Yeah.
That's exactly
yeah.
how it happened.
No, there. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I see.
All right.
So in 1998.
But Lindsay was, as a freshman.
In a show.
She was in a show with Hillary, but
right.
she was still at that
junior,
time it was junior high.
High. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so you did this costuming for a long time, and you costumed both show choirs, mm-hmm. and you costumed musicals, and how this used to go is, in case anybody cares, the fall musical was open to the entire school.
Right.
Okay, so that's where you do The Music Man. That's where you do Hello, Dolly.
You do the big,
that's
big,
where you do the big
the
thing.
The big musical production.
That's where you
yes.
do Annie Get Your Gun. You put 60 kids on
right.
stage. Okay, that's where you do that.
Yeah, it was and then 69, I think.
It was that Music Man where
oh,
it was 69.
That was Music Man. That was the next year.
Yeah, you didn't costume Annie Get Your Gun because that's when
no,
I was
No,
there.
No, no.
Yeah.
I was thinking When was that year he put 69 people in it? And that was Music Man. Yeah. It wasn't Hello. Hello of Dolly was only like 48 or something. Yeah.
Right. And our classical musical theater fans are just getting really excited right now. But, okay, so.
Well, hello, Dolly. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to let you be the chorus, and I was going to be Dolly.
Sorry.
I was going to be Carol Channing or Barbara Streisand.
Okay. Sorry.
You pick. Okay, so it's Hello, Dolly. And anyway, the spring musical was limited to the musical theater class, and so it would be smaller.
Was that
when they did, Into the Woods?
Well, that was the musical theater class, and I was not supposed to really costume them.
Oh.
I was supposed to assist them with their costume.
Because
they were responsible for their own costume, because it was musical theater.
Yeah.
So they were supposed to be responsible for their own costume.
I see. Because they were supposed to be,
like, really happened. Yeah.
Building the sets. They were supposed to be doing the whole
production.
So
there was a musical theater class and there was a tech class.
Yes, yes.
And they were supposed to be putting on this as students.
I see. Now, I will say something to praise the current political regime. I think they do a cool thing now. For the spring musical, instead of doing a full-fledged musical, they do a review.
Uh-huh.
So they kind of get to do different numbers.
They did that in Mr. Holland's Opus.
Well, it's a good idea in Mr. Holland's Opus. But I guess what I'm saying is it's kind of fun that, like, maybe if you have a kid who shines in one style.
In something,
and then another kid who shines in another style, then you don't have to choose between, you know,
you also don't have to worry about giving out the leads.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Everyone gets a chance to shine. Now, for a costumer, that kind of sucks because it's like you're costuming six shows or whatever. But
actually, it might not be that bad.
It just depends.
Right, because you aren't like maybe having to coordinate things to the story. You can take your own, you know, it's not
like, you can do different interpretation.
In a play, you have to, or a musical, you have to read the script so that when they say, oh, and you in your black dress, you better make sure that person, you know, that character has on a black dress.
So you just get to like, okay, here's the standalone song and this is Good Times.
Or you can say things like, everybody bring in your prom dress and let me see it.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you're welcome, everybody, for that tangent on how one of our local high schools works. You were costuming Hello, Dolly.
Yes.
And the reason we're talking about this production is because I've recently used these costumes again. These 22-year-old costumes.
Apparently.
I've used them, and I thought we should talk about them. So, do you want to talk about your overall vision for the show first?
Well.
Or do we want to talk about this specific costume?
Well.
It's up to you.
The whole concept was this. We also needed these similar costumes for that period.
Uh-huh.
In the show choir review.
Uh-huh.
So the costumes that were used for the show choir review were going to be used in Hello, Dolly.
Aha. Uh-huh. Good. That's
now,
smart.
Some of them were good because it was the same kid would be in the chorus. You know, some of them weren't, right? So, but it did help because I think I made 30 of these costumes.
Yeah.
Or 33 maybe. So it did help in the fact that, you know, I knew who had a costume that fit. So now I at least am working on two jobs, not just one, right?
Yeah.
Because,
you
know, these can be, these are going to be traded around a little bit.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not going to talk, I just thought about something, but I'm not going to talk about that. So anyway. Okay.
ZD's editing herself.
So I had to get a concept for these. The other thing is in show choir, they had to be worn over another dress.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it was a quick change.
Yeah. I'm just looking at one right now and it's just genius.
So it had to be, there was a top and a skirt with some sort of bustle.
Yes.
Okay. And they were all different colors and different styles. When I say different styles, I probably had like 3 or 4 different types of tops. And when I say a top, so in the play, they would wear a blouse, right? And in show choir, they had basically this white dress they wore underneath it, okay?
Okay, let me, like, let's back up. Sorry to interrupt you mid-flow. Let's just, for the people who don't know. Hello, Dolly. A little synopsis. In 1890s New York City, the bold and enchanting widow, Dolly Levi, Barbara Streisand, is a socialite turned matchmaker. Her latest clients seeking assistance are the cantankerous half-a-millionaire Horace Vandergelder, Walter Matthau. That's a synopsis of the movie. Okay. So I just wanted to let people know that we're talking about the 1890s here.
Right. Okay. So you're talking about turn of the century.
Yep.
Okay. They were still wearing bustles. They were still wearing, you know, ankle to floor length dresses. Okay. You know, the ladies weren't showing anything really.
Right.
Okay.
Except for when Hello Dolly comes out in that gold dress
and her boobs are hanging out. But then she was in like a nightclub scene kind of thing. So I don't know. That was evening dress.
I mean, people have been showing their boobs since the beginning of time.
Everybody
right?
always shows. Yeah. You know,
it's not new.
So anyway. But, you know, day dress, you were covered
Got
up,
it.
Right?
Got it.
And often it was something that might look like a jacket or a cape with like an underblouse.
You exploited the cape.
I exploited
the cape concept. Yes.
I even had sort of like a cape jacket thing that it wasn't real fitted.
Yeah.
Had kind of a dolman sleeve, but I put like a collar on it and put points, you know, on the back of it. And okay. So, like I said, these had to come off. So, most of the like fasteners were a hook or a Velcro.
Yeah, so
because they had to come off with like one hand fast and be thrown on the floor, you know, backstage for another number to start.
So these are for the chorus in Hello Dolly.
Right.
And they consist of a cape or a jacket and a skirt. Mm-hmm. You made a couple different styles and they are all different colors, right?
They're not all different colors. There might be like two maroon and two blue. So here was the next thing. They needed to be all different colors because I, like in show choir, I could have made them all the same color.
Right.
But I could not do this in Hello Dolly because most people walking down the street don't have the same exact dress. Right.
Yeah.
So what I did was I would try and buy enough fabric that I could get my hands on that would at least make two. So I would.
Good idea.
I would duplicate the color. And sometimes three. Mm-hmm. So most of it was a taffeta or a satin. Okay.
Yeah.
It was usually a polyester, taffeta or satin. Okay. Now there was a budget concern also. So sometimes I lucked out and I got to buy like a lining fabric.
Yeah.
And that worked out. And because I wasn't particular about color, it was great. Because I'm like, but there was a lot of yardage. You know, these skirts alone were three yards minimum, probably. And part of that, figuring this out, was this is a little costume, this is a big costume, this is a medium costume. So I could get two large costumes out of this fabric, or two littles in a medium or something, you know. So it, you know, that was kind of, and like I said, I think it was 32 of them I had to have. So there was a teal one that was really pretty.
I have an orange.
You have an orange one. And that I believe was a lining.
Okay.
Do you see that it has kind of a design to it?
Yes.
I think this was supposed to be a coat lining.
Oh, so this one doesn't have any embroidery on the back.
Oh, it doesn't? It has it on the skirt then.
Oh, okay. Okay. So first of all, Mom.
Every single one has embroidery on it.
Just feeling free to compliment you. So ZD made these capes and these skirts, and they have an embroidery. That one has embroidery on it, doesn't it? Yeah. A big embroidered motif. She used her embroidery machine, and I mean, they're really just beautiful. But we're looking at these capes, and we're talking about these skirts and everything. And we wanted to evoke the 1890s, but we're costuming for a high school production and a show choir, and we're on a budget and all that jazz. And so we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about some shortcuts and some solutions that you implemented to make these costumes really work.
ZD, wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
And we're back. All right. So let's talk about these capes because...
Okay, now that's just a simple...
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com. Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
Round cape.
Yes.
Okay. With those, that was the simplest thing I did.
Okay. This orange one here.
Right.
So this cape is this simple round cape. So it's one. Is it one piece? You didn't have to piece these together. It
I
fit
think
on
that
the
might be
fabric.
One piece. There's probably some that are two
pieces.
Yeah.
But this one fit on the width
but
of the
I
fabric.
But I did. Okay. So what I did is I kept each costume one color and a trim color.
And the trim, it's beautiful, but it's also very functional.
Right. And it, so this is an orange costume and there was another orange costume. Now this costume is trimmed in blue.
Yeah.
So the other orange costume would not be trimmed in blue.
It'd be trimmed in something
it
else.
It would be trimmed in, I think it was yellow.
But yeah.
I'm thinking back. Who knows?
It's been a few years.
It's been a good 20 years.
It's been a couple of decades.
Yeah, that's right.
So this orange round cape, it's a real simple pattern piece. Okay, just one pattern piece.
It's a circle skirt.
Yeah, it's a circle skirt with a, you know,
right.
Your neck hole or whatever. And so all you did to finish this was serge around the entire piece.
Right.
To finish the edge. It looks like you used a 3-thread wide on here. Or is that a 4-thread? Hold on.
Might be a 4-thread.
I think it might be a 4-thread too. So since this is the only it's a 4-thread.
Yeah, it is.
So since this is the only stitch like really used to finish this, you know, that's going to be nice and durable. But then you took this braid. Now this trim probably costs more than the fabric.
No, it didn't.
It didn't. It like looks
so
like really nice trim.
There was this place up in mid Missouri, what was the name of that town? And they had all of this these seconds and overruns.
Oh, yeah.
Of all this trim. And this was upholstery.
It's upholstery trim. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you would go in and it was in big, like, barrels.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And you'd go, oh, there's some blue. And you could pull the blue out and you could keep pulling and keep pulling and keep pulling. And you never knew how much it cost till you went up to the front desk and you go, I want to buy this. How much is this? And they go, oh, a dollar. So I bought like baskets of trim. That's what all that trim is.
That's what
still
all that,
down in there.
All
yes.
down there.
Yes.
All down there. That's 30
so,
people.
Yes.
How long
so
do you
I
keep these?
So I wasn't
in your
even
stash?
Paying like a penny a yard for
okay,
some of this stuff.
Okay, because it looks really nice.
Well, and then she's like, well, what are you doing? You know, and I'm like, well, I'm doing, you know, Rockbridge High School, blah, blah, blah. She goes, oh, well, I'll give you another 10% off. I'm like, you know.
Okay.
So we have a lot of, they had sequins.
Yes.
They had sequins, they had trim, they had fabric. I did not buy any of their fabric. All their fabric was like cotton.
Okay. Not quite appropriate
for
this.
So I couldn't get any fabric there.
So you searched around the edge of this whole thing with a 4-thread overlock, and then you just straight stitched this trim
on. Did I straight stitch it?
Yeah,
on?
Looks like it. That one.
That's what I did.
The maroon or purple costume that we're looking at here, it has a different trim that you zigzagged on.
And it's zigzagged on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this saved you a ton of time versus actually hemming this.
Right.
Okay. Or lining it.
Right.
Or something like that. Like, this is absolutely...
Well, and truly, this is costume grade.
Like, right.
You know, in Hello Dolly, it got... I mean... Well, it got some
These
wear.
Have gotten some wear.
And they have gotten wear since then. We've used them over and over again. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, for the show choir, they all came out in them.
Uh-huh.
2.5-minute song, and they were on the floor in the back.
Right. They were thrown away.
Right. So I'm like, I remember Pat Satterthon, she was the mother, and she said, oh, my God, all your work, and it's on the floor. I go, just help me pick it up.
Well, you know? That's another reason for costuming. This poly stuff, you
that
can wash
this. That was
another
reason. We could wash it. Yes, we could.
Yeah.
Yes, we could.
So you can wash this. Okay, the orange cape has a big old hook and eye on it.
Right.
All right.
I think it's like a coat type.
The purple one has a hook and eye, too.
Yeah, it's like a coat type hook and eye. So it's big so they can handle it
on
stage and take it off,
right.
You know, while they're singing or moving.
But it's hidden,
right.
You know. Okay, and then the skirt has...
Yep, that's
Velcro
right.
Velcro mm-hmm. on it.
So they were hook and loop because they had to undress, you know, they went off stage and dropped their clothes, basically, and came back on is what happened.
Yeah, and I just want to talk a little bit about the construction technique on the skirt.
Okay.
So I don't want to say...
Let's see if I can look at it remember.
I don't want to say that you, like, skimped on the cape, but, like, the reason you were able to, like, serge and just straight stitch some trim on it is because this is the edge of a cape with no stress on it.
Right.
You did not, though, on these skirts, you didn't, like, construct them with the serger. You constructed them with a sewing machine,
mm-hmm. yes.
and you finished the edges with a serger. And...
Well, and some of the other tops that were more like the jacket.
Yeah.
I think I did...
Some facings or something.
No, I didn't do anything. I made sure I didn't do anything. I mean, I thought this all through. Because, first of all, there was 33 of them.
Right.
And they weren't the same. So I had to design every, you know.
Right.
And again, like I said, if this orange had blue trim, then the other orange had a different color trim. Yeah, everything was different, which is a little bit more involved than making the same costume over and over 30 times.
Right. No, you got to rethread your machine
right.
and everything.
But I do believe that on the one that was a jacket, it, you know, maybe I did serge it, even though it was woven. We'd have to look.
I think you've got a green one. Yeah, I think there's a green jacket we can look.
There.
But on this skirt, it's a long, full-length skirt with a little bustle at the back.
Right.
I mean, this bustle took some time. It is two layers of fabric here that... You had to sew
right
sides together, turn right side out, and then you applied the trim. So
right.
I guess what I'm saying is sometimes it's okay to just serge that edge and
right.
top stitch some trim on. Some parts of a costume, the shape of it won't hold up.
So the bustles were not true bustles.
Oh,
they
sure.
were not real heavy. They didn't have a bum wrap under them or anything like that. But it had to have a little fullness. It had to give the idea.
Right.
Okay. So you can see how much fabric is in that.
Yeah.
That's why I needed fabric.
No, you really, and you,
so
you know,
this is like a big sort of what? U-shaped? What would you call that?
Yeah.
And it's pleated onto
mm-hmm.
the waistband.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the detail has the trim in it. And the other reason it has the trim is to make sure the audience can see there's a bustle.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
So if the bustle is not a different color
right.
or doesn't have some kind of like
texture
colored band
or something,
you know,
right.
So that may blend in. So
right.
you use the trim to give that line
right.
to it, even though, you know, so funny because they did the King and I when I was there and they did get her, Anna, the hoop skirt because
right.
that's part of the whole shtick, you know. and having high schoolers in an overcrowded play wear some kind of historically accurate garment is just a joke.
I made Hillary that historically accurate
farthingale and everything.
Yeah, quasi-accurate for the Barber of Seville. And that was hard in a college stage.
Yeah, and there were only eight people in it or whatever. So you did embroider on these. You embroider after or before you constructed?
After, I believe, because they were all big enough that I could. You know,
these are large. And
I might not have had, like, the waistband on. Do you know what I mean? Or something like that. So I would be, think about all of this embroidery, like, you know, 60,
no, you're
almost
crazy.
60 motifs. I know. But I would have the embroidery machine going while I was constructing.
Yes. You would have your embroidery. And
right.
So...
I was sewing on two machines at once.
I want to say, what? Is this your Bernina
180? I bet it was. I bet it was the Bernina 180.
Yeah, the 22 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it was.
You know, because this is actually a pretty large hoop size, pretty large motif size.
And obviously I had software because that's enlarged.
Yeah, it's enlarged. And actually, I just want to say that, you know, I don't know if you follow her, I don't know how she pronounces her Instagram handle, but Sosteen or Sostina.
Christine.
Yeah, so she does.
I would say it's like her name. Her name is Christina, so it's Sosteen.
But then every time I've met somebody who spells her name Stine, they say Stina. So
okay.
I'm like, is she playing on that? I don't know. I'll have to ask her.
Her name is Christina.
I think her name's.
So she's Sosteen.
Okay.
Sosteen.
Commented on her Instagram and asked her, but I didn't. And she's like in Illinois, actually.
I didn't know she was right there.
She's kind of close by, you know, she's a few hours away. She now does
does a lot of period.
She like
that's
digitizes.
All she does. Yes. She digitizes embroidery that she has found.
Yes, that is sourced from the period. So she's not hand embroidering, but she's like digitizing the embroidery. And I just think that's really, you know, fun and cool and like maybe something I'd, you know, want to do at sometime or would have done.
In your spare time.
Or whatever. So the orange cape doesn't have embroidery, but the purple cape does. It has the same. And I love this. I love this color combination. It's the maroony purple with the bright yellow. Mm-hmm. It's this bright yellow floral trim and this bright yellow embroidery motif. And these motifs and this embroidery have held up pretty darn well over 22 years.
In the opening scene where Dolly is introduced.
Yeah, what's that number called? What's the opening number?
I don't know. Where she comes in.
Okay, you keep talking and I'll find out.
It's not Sunday Clothes, is it?
No, that's later.
I don't know. But the first number where she comes in, she enters from the back of the theater, right?
Uh-huh.
And comes down the aisle. So I had all of these girls in these bright, very concentrated colors in all of these dresses. And she came down the aisle, and she had on a very pale beige brocade dress that had light pink trim. And she had on the hat, there was a big light pink boa. So that's how she stood out.
Uh-huh.
She was not concentrated color.
She was light.
Right. She was.
By the way, the girl who played Dolly in this musical went on to be on Broadway.
She did. And the other thing that I did for her is she said something about boobs, and I said, "You want boobs?" And she said, "Yeah, you can make boobs." And I said, What size?
Whatever
and
you want.
And so we made her boobs, and actually someone from her church mentioned it to her. Someone from the church mentioned to her, because everyone in her church came to see this, like, play.
This
you
is
know.
Why you do Hello, Dolly.
Right, this is why you do. And she said, so-and-so said to me, "My, that costumer sure knows how to accentuate your chest." And I thought, well, I know how to make one, too.
Yep, we can.
So anyway,
we made her build anything.
I built her boobs.
Yes.
So that then I could costume her with that size boob.
Yeah. She played Hava in the revival of Fiddler on the Roof.
She did.
So anyway, I'm just she's a celebrity.
Her brother was on Broadway too.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Anyway, so you also though, this has nothing to do with these costumes. You made her that dot sequin dress for the finale.
That was the finale.
The purple and green.
With the rhinestones.
Yes. Yeah. I think we can find some pictures of that. That was just beautiful. So you really focused on how to – the colors in this are beautiful. Ha ha. You know what? Another funny thing. So Derek is 8 years older than me.
Right.
Right? So there's a picture of me with his girlfriend at the time in this show, I think.
But you were a child.
Because he was in high school and I was in like fifth grade or something like that.
And you're standing with the girl
he dated. And I'm standing
with
the girl. Oh. He was dating her like at the time, you know. And so anyway, I'm like, hey, look, it's me. And I'm just like friends with all his ex-girlfriends anyway, so it's fine. So you've got Velcro on this skirt.
And that was because it's a quick change.
Quick change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, I had a regrettable Velcro experience recently.
There are a lot of those. I
thought that this was going to work for a blouse in a show, and it was loud.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So this show, it was only two people, and I was like, oh, crap. You know, this really was loud. I regretted keeping the Velcro on there. I wish I would have had snaps.
Right.
You know, even though snaps weren't period either. But when you're doing a quick change in a show choir, and there's a combo blaring behind you, it's okay.
Well,
for it to
and
be
the
loud.
Other thing that I wanted to be able to do was have alteration possibilities.
Yeah, so the
you know, I could put a little bit, you know, if it only needed to be an inch or two in the back.
Look at this. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Okay.
Right.
So the part of the waistband that overlaps, you have sewn the Velcro on by machine.
Yes.
And it is the crow part. Okay. The, right? Yeah. Because it's the hard part.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that would be the part that would be harder to sew through by machine.
Oh.
Okay. And then the vel part is hand sewn on.
Why is that?
I think so you could adjust it.
Oh, okay.
I think so. Or do you
know? That may have gotten altered later.
Yeah. Or somebody or maybe somebody altered it later.
Right.
Because then, yeah, that part. So if I needed to make this waistband bigger or smaller right now, these are some kind of larger stitches, and I could cut those right now with a pair of scissors, move it over.
Now, this Velcro is also, what, an inch and a half wide, 2 inches
It's really big.
It's the big Velcro.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point for costumers.
Well, and you want it to stay on.
And you can cut it down.
You can.
You can cut, if you find, I would like my waistband to be slimmer, you know, or something.
So it is. It's almost the width of the waistband is what it is.
And that's important because that Velcro is, I mean, the skirt's lightweight, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's another thing about this cheap poly. Or when I say cheap poly, I mean, you know, it's not like silk.
It's inexpensive.
It's
inexpensive and durable.
Yes. So that's the thing about this fabric is it's also lightweight, so it's easy to move around in, and it won't weigh down this closure that needs to come off really fast, you know. So, yeah, I think that makes it adjustable. Maybe somebody else did
this
that.
This was also, this is a hint for costuming, this was also one of these times I went and bought all of these white blouses at Goodwill or Salvation Army and whatever, and vat dyed them.
Okay.
So I made blue blouses. So, you know, the ones with blue trim, or maybe they were blue, they went in the blue vat.
Yeah.
You know, I had like a blue vat, a yellow vat, a pink vat, a purple vat, or whatever, so that these costumes got a colored blouse that went under them and not white. Because generally, white can be kind of harsh on stage anyway.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, for Hello Dolly, they didn't have this underdress that they were wearing.
Right.
Right.
Right. So then over in show choir land, you
they
could put a whole dress under it. You
and
know,
everybody's was basically white.
Yes. So you could put a whole dress, though, under this skirt. It's kind of nice that it's a little roomy, that it is 3 to 4 yards of fabric, you know. So, yeah, I think that that's great. So any other – so we still have some of this trim.
We do. We have a lot of that trim.
Oh, you know, I realize my children don't understand yet.
That other people don't do this?
No.
Oh.
They don't understand the magnitude of what we have. Because we...
Right, right.
We, I had to go to a yarn store and they popped in with me and they're like, can we buy these buttons? They're elephant buttons. I was like, we have thousands of buttons at home, and they don't even know.
They don't even know.
And I don't think they know how much trim is up here. Maybe we should teach them in the next few days.
I think it's funny. Hillary, you know, often says, yeah, you know, Mom, people don't get it because they said, oh, we need this. And I said, oh, well, I'll go to my parents.
Yeah. No, Derek needed like another box. He's like, you know, getting ready to go into his room. I was like, you need to buy another fan. He's like, I've got fans. And I was like, what if one breaks down? Get another fan. He's like, I don't need any fans. And then then he's ordering a fan. I was like, why didn't you just order a fan? And I told you to. You know, I told you so. And then he's like, well, I just figured your parents would have one.
We did. I'm sure we had fans.
He's like, but I looked around and I didn't see any, you know. And I was like, well, whatever, you know. And I was like, it's so funny because now he knows. He understands. He's like, don't you just have some of this? That's a little foreshadowing for another podcast that we're going to record. Yeah.
But, we have costume. You want to be a witch? We got a witch. You know, you want to be, I mean, there's not, we really don't have to make Halloween costumes anymore.
No, not Halloween. No, I mean, unless somebody wants to be something super special.
Right.
But yeah, I just use these capes in a virtual show.
Right.
I mentioned it when we did our virtual show thing. And the capes are just so good. Big pop of color. Mm-hmm. You know, easy to put on. They don't have to fit anyone. You know, it was really useful. So,
well, and that was something that was sort of nice is these were not real fitted, but I did give them lines,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that they gave an illusion of something.
Yes.
And
so the people aren't just like blurbs of color, running around.
Right.
They've got
would
some
I
things.
Ever do it again? Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know what you were thinking. What were you thinking?
I don't know, but I do think this was this the time that I fell off the toilet, or was it Music Man?
I don't know.
I think this might have been this one.
Do you want to share your story?
Well, I guess I could.
This would be a lighthearted thing for people to hear about.
I do think maybe it was this show. I don't know. It was either this or Music Man, because Music Man was huge, humongous too. So I was costuming and working and all this, you know. So I was sleeping like 2-3 hours a night for like 3 months,
mm-hmm.
okay? And, you know, I would work through every weekend. I would sew for like 18 hours a day. And it was, you know, the whole, in fact, I don't know if this might have also been the show where I came home. And, of course, Mallory was always so much younger than the other girls. And she was sitting at the kitchen counter eating peaches out of a can, and she said to me, will we ever have fresh fruit again? And I said, only if they sell it at the gas station, because at that time they didn't sell fresh fruit at the gas station. But yeah, so
Mom was real tired.
So cooking was difficult. Like, things were out of cans and whatever, mm-hmm. or things that I had prepared that summer to eat for the fall show. So I had finally finished. Like, everything was done. The last hook and eye was on. You know, everybody fit in their costume, and I didn't have to do anything. And I got to go to bed, like, at 10 o'clock. Okay? So I go to bed, and I wake up at 3 o'clock, and I have to pee really bad. And I'm so tired and so mad that I have to get up. I mean, I thought I was going to get, like, real sleep. And I laid there contemplating, maybe I could just hold it, you know? I better not. What if I fall asleep and dream I'm on the toilet and I will pee in the bed? You know, probably took me 15 minutes to decide to get up. So I get up and I go get on the toilet. And our toilet sits in a little, like, alcove, right, in our master bath. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I could just put my head against the wall.
But you also put your glasses on.
Well, I always wear them. Yes. So I can't see. So I put my glasses on when I get up, even though it's dark and I don't put any lights on. I put my glasses on. I go get on the toilet. And I'm like, while I'm peeing, I can put my head up against the wall. Because I'm so tired. And this would be like resting and peeing, right?
Multitasking.
Well, somebody fell asleep, and apparently, I just fell forward right off the toilet, because the next thing I remember is my husband saying, oh my God, what are you doing? And I lift up and I see the bathroom floor in front of my face and my glasses hanging like halfway off. And he goes, oh, are you all right? And the glasses are broken and there's a shard of glass like in my cheek and my eye is starting to turn black, you know. And he's like, this is what he says to me. Why do you have your glasses on? But anyway, I'm like, you don't understand. You can see. But anyway, he says, what do we do? I said, well, let's clean my face up and see how bad it is. Well, it wasn't real bad. You know, it wasn't too bad. Mm-hmm. So we cleaned it up, and I put a Steri-Strip on it. That's like a little, like, piece of
tape.
Know, tape that's like a fake stitch, sort of. And I still have the scar. And I said, I'm going to, like, sit here and sleep. You know, sleep sitting up. If I start to vomit or I sound incoherent, I have a, you know, I probably have a concussion. Then you need to take me to the hospital. But all I wanted to do was sleep. So I get up the next morning and I have a shiner. I mean, it is like from the top of my eyebrow all the way down my cheek. You know, my husband's like, how much makeup you gonna, can you put on that? Because people are going to think I beat you. You know, and it was really bad.
It was under your eye.
It looked just like somebody clocked me.
Right.
It really did. I mean, I must have fallen full force on my face.
Well, and ZD, let's talk, the reason we bring up the glasses. So ZD is like legally blind without visual aid.
Yes.
So her glasses, and 20,
they used to be really
22
thick.
Years yes. ago, before advances in technology, I remember these. They looked like small cylinders.
Yes. They were like the end of a Coke bottle.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know. And.
And they were like a wireframe.
It was a wireframe.
So they weren't in, it's like,
right.
It's like the glass was really exposed.
Right.
Yeah. I remember
so
these.
Anyway. I did go to work and, you know, kept telling this story to people. And my husband shows up in the middle of the day and he goes, so what are you telling everybody? Yeah. And I go, I'm telling him I fell off the toilet. And he goes, you better make up a better story. They're not going to believe that. Everybody's going to think I beat you, you know. And I was like, well, I thought the truth would probably be the best thing. But anyway, so then, of course, I have to go immediately to the high school after this.
Right.
And I walk into the auditorium,
mm-hmm.
and of course, your sister had told everyone the story. And the director just laughs and laughs out loud and cannot stop laughing. And I'm standing there with my black eye.
Yeah.
And the guy I worked with suggested I put a seatbelt on my toilet.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So
be careful, man, when you're sewing and how you budget your time.
I'm just thinking about how lucky these people were to have you and all these costumes. Because not only did you make great costumes.
I just should have had a crash pad around my toilet. Like, I would have been fine.
But, like, we provided them with so much fun entertainment throughout the years, too.
Yeah, despite the costumes, they got a lot of other stuff.
They got a lot of funny things. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for listening. I think that these costumes should be a Zig Zagger live broadcast, just, like, going
into. That would be a good idea.
Yeah, really up close and personal showing these. Okay, everybody, thanks for listening. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.